Will you pray with me now as we come and learn together? Father, it's wonderful to be able to meet together again, to be able to remind one another that the price has been paid. What a tremendous thought it is for us to grasp that the Lord is my shepherd, that I shall not want, that He always makes us lie down in green pastures, and He leads us beside the still waters. How wonderful it is to know as we go into a new year, that even though we walk through the valleys, we will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Oh, those are precious words. And Lord, as we face 2007, we long that this year will be a year where spiritually we will grow together closer to Jesus, that nothing will hinder us, that no one here would backslide or grow cold. But we pray that our walk with You this year will be closer than we've ever had in our lives, that we'll learn to love You more, to love Your Word more, to love to pray more, to love the lost more, to long to serve You more, and long to be a servant of others. Lord, we pray for this, because by ourselves we are weak, we are inadequate, we fail, we sin, and we need You, Lord. And so as we turn now to Your Word, I pray that You would help us to clearly hear what it's saying and to help us this year to run the Christian life well. And I ask it in Jesus' name and only for His glory. Amen. Friends, tonight, I want to share one of the most well-known passages in the Bible with you. It's probably one of those passages like John's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 16, which you all know so well. So I hope you'll forgive me for that. But it's a passage that will clarify and help me, and I hope it will help you also during the year that lies before us, to make it a year where your life will count for God. That's what we long for 2007 to be a year, not necessarily where we do well at varsity or where we see the business taking off or where we achieve more in the sports field. If these things come our way, well, that will be good. But the greatest, wouldn't it be wonderful if at the end of this year you and I look back and say the year 2007 was the year where spiritually I drew closer to Jesus. Now this verse will help us to run well. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Let me read it to you one more time. Chris read it just now. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Friends, the book of Hebrews is a magnificent letter. Brown in his commentary says this, this magnificent letter to the Hebrews was written to a group of first century Christians who were in danger of giving up. Others were in danger of compromise. And this letter is to show them how to press on to mature Christian stability. That's tremendous. See, that really speaks to my own heart. Here is a letter written to first century Christians who are in danger of giving up. They had made professions of faith, they had professed to come to Christ, they had professed all of these things, but for one or two reasons, they are now saying, I'm going to go back to what I was. That's a sad thing. Others were in danger of compromising their walk with Jesus. So the writer to the Hebrews, we're not sure who it was, he, under the inspiration of God, he writes this letter. And the letter is, if you go to the first few chapters, it's a wonderful explanation on how superior the Lord Jesus is to everything else, to Moses, to the prophets, to the angels. Jesus is absolutely superior. And then from chapter 12 to the end, he shows us how to live the life. He practically applies it, showing us how we will never get to the stage when we need to give up or compromise, but rather where we grow on to walk with Jesus. So this evening, how do we do it? How can you and I run our spiritual lives in 2007 without growing cold and backsliding? I want you to notice, if I may share that with you, three things tonight. We're going to have a look at the stand, we're going to have a look at the struggle, and then I'm going to share with you the strategy. Three very simple things, and then we're going to pray. Alright? The background, of course, is a very familiar one. It's a race. My dear brothers and sisters, the Christian life is not easy. We mustn't let people tell us that. It's not easy. It's long, and at times it's difficult. There are temptations along the road. There are difficulties along the road. It's not always easy. It's a long marathon race. If you want to put on your running shoes, you can go and run 10 kilometers. With not too much struggle. But if you pick up in June and try and run the Comrades Marathon, that's another story. You can start, that's easy. All you have to do is qualify at one marathon. But to complete that race, you've got to have done your homework. It's a long, long race. When you run through halfway at Drummond, you've already completed a marathon, and you've got another one ahead of you. That's the difficulty with the Comrades Marathon. It's long and it's difficult. The Christian life is not easy. It's long. It's wonderful. There's no doubt about that. But there are lots of difficulties along the road. So how can we run this race? Let me show you quickly. The first thing is that he shows us here is he enables us to see the stand. So just for a moment, as you're about to start, or you're in the race, you just pause for a minute and you look at the stand. Listen to what it says. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Isn't that encouraging, friends? You see, as we seek to run the Christian life, here around us is a galaxy of great men and women, boys and girls, who have run the Christian life. They've not only committed their lives to Christ, but they've run the race. Each has completed the race. In their own way, each has triumphed. Each wears the laurels of victory. And there they sit. In a sense, and they encourage you. It's an enormous encouragement to run a race and to see the people on the side of the road. I was running a Comrades one year, and I've never forgotten. I was running somewhere up there near Umras Road, and a lady stopped and started to stop me and said, "You're looking finished. Don't you want a toasted cheese and tomato?" I said, "Lady, that's very kind of you, but if I have that, I will be as sick as a dog. But thank you for the very kind thought." You see, but what an encouragement she was. Others offer you juice. I've been offered beers and wine and everything. You see, when they look at you, they think you're ready to die. But you know what it is? It's an encouragement. I love reading Christian biographies. I picked up a book for R5 on holiday, which was the history of the mission work in the Orange Free State from 1860 to 1900. I don't think you can get that book anymore. I'm so glad I found it. It was a great challenge to me again to see those early fathers who came and planted the gospel in our land. Why do we read? They encourage you. And so we are not all alone. The road is packed. The people are there. Christians have overcome. They've run the race. They've finished the race. They are there to encourage. The stand is packed. Let's have a look secondly at the struggle. How do we do it, brothers and sisters? Notice three things with the struggle. Says, let us also lay aside every weight. So what's the first thing that I've got to do in seeking to run the Christian life in such a way that the Lord Jesus will be pleased with my life? He tells me here in the older translation, I must throw off anything that hinders me. Anything that hinders me. Now, you can understand it. Let's go back to the old running there. You cannot run with rugby boots on. It'll hinder you. Cannot run with a great jacket on. Ah, you put on these little shorts and a t-shirt and a pair of tackies and you run. You've got to get rid of anything that hinders. And notice, if I may draw to your attention, that things can hinder us that may not necessarily be wrong. They may not necessarily be sinful. But they do sap our energy from holy things. They may disincline you to do what you know you should be doing. What the writer is telling me is there anything in your life that is taking so much of your time, so much of your energy, so much of your attention, so much of your thinking, that you've got no time left to put into the things of God? And so, my friends, it could be anything. It could be a friendship. You could be so taken up with somebody that you haven't got time for the Lord. Could be for some of your television. You watch far too much TV. And if I say to you, how much TV do you watch per day? X amount of hours? How much time do you spend reading the Bible? How much time do you spend with God every day? You see, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with TV, but it can become wrong if it takes too much of your time. Can be some hobby. Can be your sport. Can be your studies. Anything. What is hindering? So I need to see into my own life as I start off 2007, and I need to say to myself, is there anything that's holding me back? Could be reading. See, you know how much I love my reading. But that can be a problem if you read so many books, you haven't got enough time to read the Bible. You see what he's saying? The writer is stressing you're running a race. You're running a long race. You start the race when you are born again, and you finish the race when you die. It's a long race. Get off, get rid, put off anything that is slowing you down and stopping you from being the most effective for the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear brothers and sisters, what is holding you back? Why is it that you're not spending enough time in the Word of God? My dad left me a legacy. The legacy he left me, among many other things, was love your Bible. And at the beginning of every year, you all know that, I get this little diagram from Robert Murray McChay. You read those chapters every day, it'll help me to read my Bible every year. Every year, you start. But, if I'm too busy, or too involved in other things, I won't do that, because it takes time to read four chapters a day. But it's critical. There's nothing more important than spending time with Jesus. Even for those working for God. That's why we pray for Sandy. It's so easy to work for God rather than to be walking with Him. So what does the writer say? Get rid of anything that is holding you back. What's the second thing you notice here in the struggle? That we must not only get rid of what hinders us, but listen, and the sin that so easily entangles us. Now it's different. Friends, the reminder is a clear one here tonight, that if you play with sin, it's going to ruin your walk with God. You mustn't play with sin. Why not? It comes and it entangles you. That's a very graphic word, isn't it? It clings. It clings so closely. That's what it does. You take something like pornography. You see, you may dabble in pornography, play with pornography, but it's a sin, isn't it? And you know what it does? It clings. And it entangles you. And there's so much of that today. Don't play with sin. Whatever that sin may be, don't play with sin. If you know that you're involved in something that's wrong, tonight, stop. You're in a relationship that's wrong. Stop. You're reading stuff that you shouldn't be reading? Stop. You're involved in issues that you shouldn't be involved in? Stop. Because sin entangles. And you can't run. And you're going to give up. You're going to be a tragedy along the road. John Stott made a comment in one of his books how the Christian landscape is strewn with the wrecks of those who started the Christian life but have become wrecks because of sin. We've seen the stand. We've seen the struggle. Is anything holding you back? Get rid of it. Because you're involved in a race now, friend. and you and I are involved in a lifestyle to bring honor to Christ, are you playing with sin? Throw it off. Throw it off. Stop it. Don't pray about it. Don't do anything else. Stop it. And the third thing you notice about the struggle is, and run with endurance. Run with endurance. I've got a very good friend. He's run about 12 Comrades Marathons, I think. But the last one he ran all the way from Durban, he got into Pietermaritzburg and he was at the market. You know how close that is to the finish? He got on his back and he fell asleep. And he couldn't move. He could see the stadium. But he didn't make it. You see, it's endurance. It's perseverance. Tomorrow morning when we wake up, it's always the best in the morning. You may not feel like reading your Bible. You may not feel like praying. You may not feel like looking for somebody that you can share your faith with tomorrow. But we do it. We do it because we love doing it. It's endurance, it's discipline, and it's perseverance. That's what the writer is saying to me here. Throw off what hinders, get rid of the sin that entangles, and then run. And may I suggest, as your brother, just others can do it better than I can. The most important issues, friend, the most important issues for you and for me as we go into 2007 is make sure, if you want to run with endurance, that you are getting your daily nourishment from the Bible. You must read the Word of God every day. That's where the chemists make a lot of money before any big race, because the runners have got a carbo load. You've got to supplement your body. You can't keep going. You've got to eat certain things and drink all the time. And you know, there are a lot of Christians who are giving up. A lot of Christians are cold. And a lot of Christians are compromising. Do you know why? They're running on the rims. George Whitfield was a magnificent preacher, as you all have heard often. And in his diary, he wrote these words soon after his conversion. They made such an impact on my life. He said these words. He says, every day I began to read the Bible on my knees. I laid aside every other book, and I began to pray over every word. This is what happened. He says, this proved to be meat indeed for my soul. And every day I received from God fresh light and fresh power. Every day. No matter how long you've been a Christian, you need to spend time in the Bible. And the other essential is in prayer. All the other gimmicks and all the other programs and all the other conferences and all the other stuff, it's all good. But the most important two things in my life is to love the Bible and to love to pray. My dear, dear friends, don't neglect those two things. Because if you do, you won't be able to endure. You won't be able to keep going. You're going to become cold, and you're going to fall off along the road. So we've seen the stand, and we've seen the struggle. Just lastly, the strategy. It's wonderful how this tremendous passage gives me the strategy. Very simply, listen to what it says. Looking unto Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So what's the strategy, dear friends? Three simple words. Looking unto Jesus. That's the strategy. We've seen the struggle, but the strategy is plain. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus Christ. Listen to what it tells us about Jesus. The first thing it tells us about Jesus is that he is the author and the perfecter of our faith. So it tells us clearly about the person of Jesus. Stay focused on his person. He has been down the race. He knows how it should be run. The word author suggests leader. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Not on any people, not on any church, not on any organization. Keep your eyes on Christ. His person. But not only that. Keep your eyes on the passion of Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. My dear brothers and sisters, we always remember that. Remember C.T. Studd, who came to Africa many years ago and started a work that is still going on across Central Africa. The whole WEC organization stemmed from C.T. Studd. C.T. Studd made famous the statement. He said this, "If Jesus Christ be God and he gave his life for me, there's nothing too great that I could ever do for him." And that's how we live. It's the cross. Keep your eyes on Jesus, his person, but his passion, that Jesus died for me on the cross. He paid the price. He shed his blood. He said it is finished. Everything was done by Christ for you and for me. We don't have to earn our way or work our way or deserve our way. Jesus Christ has done it all for us on the cross. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith, who endured the cross. But that's still not all. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Always remember the position of Jesus. Where is he? Right now he's at the right hand of God, crowned as King of all, absolute Lord of all. And as our Lord, he's made you a promise. Our King has said to us, "I promise you, all things will work together for good." In 2007, there'll be nothing that will happen to hurt you. Nothing will happen to take you away. Nothing will be a tragedy. Nothing. Everything that happens to you, if you're a Christian, is going to happen for your good. Isn't that wonderful? How can you say that? Because of Jesus. His person, his passion, and his position. So how do I run? Keep your eyes on Jesus. We had a youth worker when I was in Maritzburg, and I thought, we've got to bond with our youth worker. Got to get to know this man. He's different. He does things different. So we decided to do the doozy together. That was probably the worst thing we could have done. And we went over the rapids together, and we went down the mudslides together, and we nearly drowned together. But you know, when I was there with old Philip, sitting at the back, he used to do it in the front, and I used to pray in the back. And we went down the rivers of KZN and had a wonderful, wonderful time. But you know, one thing I've never forgotten is when you get to the top of Burma Road, on the last day of the doozy, you can see Durban, and you see the Holiday Inn's hotel, and you think, boy, there's nothing that's going to stop me getting there now. And you focus on that building. I want to run for Jesus. I stay focused on Jesus. And so, my dear friends, the year lies before you and I. This is the first Sunday of the year. May I encourage you, urge you to say this. Make this year the year where spiritually you take off. Where spiritually you mature in your walk with God. The stand is full of Christians encouraging you. Get rid of anything that's hindering you. Throw up any sin and run. With discipline and endurance. And the strategy is simple. Keep your eyes on Christ. Feed yourself every day with the Word and with prayer. Oh, may God, in His grace and His mercy, see you and I running. Well done. Well done. Don't fall away. Don't grow cold. Don't compromise. Run for His glory. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pray for grace to run the Christian life to Your glory. We confess how weak we are. We so often give in to temptations and so often put little gods along the route. So often find it so easy to get entangled with lots of other things and often to neglect the most important. But I pray tonight that in my life, Lord, and for all of us, this year before us now will enable us to run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of God. We thank You for Him. In Jesus' name, Amen.